All right, we're here with Jack Mech Porter, formerly of Planet Unreal.
Hey, doing, Pete? Good to be here.
Pretty good. Jack's Mr. Server Browser, Mr. Menuing, Mr. Decal, a lot of things going on here at Epic Games.
Yep, I just picked up whatever pieces. I started off with the menuing system, but as I got more familiar with the Unreal Engine and the C++ side of it, I started having a go at doing a few things like the decals, like the scripted textures, which are the scrolling messages you see in the Morpheus level.
Yeah.
There's a couple of those in other parts of the game. They're also used for the weapon readouts on the guns. So I just kind of picked up little areas that I thought I could do, as well as doing the menuing and the server browser code. Yeah.
So how do you make the break from GameSpy and Planet Unreal over to Epic Games? How'd that all occur?
Well, I was kind of lucky. I was in the right place at the right time. I'd put together some windowing code and some server browser stuff in my spare time while I was doing news at PU. And because Tim and Mark had heard of my name, you know, they knew who I was when I sent them an email. So I put the stuff together and sent it off to Tim and Mark, and it just happened to be exactly what they needed because they didn't know what they were doing for their menus for UT. And I really was at the right place at the right time. So they said, "Hey, come on over and see what you can do." And initially, it was just to get the windowing system in, and you know, I ended up with a permanent position here, which was awesome.
Yeah, that's great. This is a really unique place. I mean, we were talking earlier about how you have people here that are extremely talented and technically adept at just ripping things apart and making things work. And at the same time, the other side of their brain, they're nuts.
Slightly crazy? Yeah.
Yeah, and very creative, and usually don't see that too much in the same person, but here there's a whole bunch of people running around like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the two have to go, you know, hand in hand to really be creative. And Epic's just a great work environment, and all the people here are absolutely fantastic.
So, well, you know, who's to say what's well-rounded? I think that's pretty well-rounded.
Well, yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the menuing system in Unreal Tournament?
Okay, we started off with the menuing system. We thought, okay, our first goal is to make it really easy to use. But after we got started a little bit, we realized that, hey, this really allows us a heap of flexibility. So we found we could make lots and lots of alterations to the game, lots and lots of options, and present the information to a user so that the user could easily choose what options they wanted to configure or how they wanted their server to run. Or traditionally, it's been quite difficult to configure a server or to set up various mods, and so you had to be really hardcore to get into that. But with things like mutators that this windowing system really enabled to work well, anybody can download a mutator, double-click on it, and then they open up Unreal Tournament and press the mutators button, and there's this list of mutators, and you can drag and drop.
You know, this all sounds a lot like an email I sent to you guys a while back saying, you know, I'm not a geek, my wife is not a geek, and, you know, I need my windows, I need my drop-downs, and it's all there now.
Right, yeah, so that's totally been that we wanted anybody to be able to pick up the game, and we've got wives and girlfriends who've never played this type of computer game to come in, and they can sit there and they can start a game, configure all their keys how they want them, and have no problems at all getting into the game.
A new part of the game is the server browser. Not the server browser, I mean the web
remote administration.
Right, remote admin. And
yep, that's part of the game I often forget about. But with that we got a guy called Colin Verb, a guy from the community. His handle's Yang, and he sent us a demo, much like I had, of his server browser he put together with Andrew, also from the Unreal community, and we said this is great, so we got Yang to make a UT version of this because their version was just for Unreal, and so with some of that code and some code I wrote for a web server, there's now the ability to administer your web server from your Unreal Tournament server from any web browser on the planet.
I find it really handy to have. I run a regular Unreal server and the UT server on these mothership servers that we call them on Nolly City, and it's just a pleasure to be able to just pop in on a web browser interface and just change what you want to change.
That's right. Like anybody, you know, often we're having a game here in the office, and somebody will say, "Well, we're sick of CTF. What about Instajib CTF?" So you just load up the server browser.
Sure,
the
poof, and you're off.
Remote web administration, and yeah, it's going.
Speaking of browsers, the integrated server browser itself is new.
Right. Yeah, that's something the windowing system allowed us to do, obviously. The windowing system and the server browser got developed simultaneously. And, again, we wanted to be really easy so anybody who's just bought the game can get online, call up their ISP, and they go find internet games, and up comes a list of servers they can play on, hopefully in a reasonable order, sorted by ping, so that they can choose the game type they want.
Well, they can click the headers at the top and have it sorted by anything they want.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not as fully featured as GameSpy. It's lacking a few important features that I would have liked to have seen in there. But, you know, it's a pretty good substitute if you're looking for a quick game of UT.
Sure, and as soon as people buy the game, even if they don't have GameSpy 3D, they're
right.
already equipped to at least go out, find something online, and start playing right away.
Right, that's
which
exactly
is great.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you had mentioned on some other articles here that you had done some additional work to the server browser to enhance and improve it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get enough time before the release of UT to really get those finished off. What I wanted to do was I wanted to add a player search capability. That's something that a lot of people have really asked for, and that's still something I'd like to get done post UT. And the other thing is custom filtering so that you can really find the kind of servers that you're after.
Yeah, that would be a nice feature because as the list of servers gets larger and larger and larger, you want to prune it down somehow. So
right.
Maybe you
right.
want to go looking for an Instagib server only, or you, I'm in a fat boy mood, so just serve for servers running fat boy.
At the moment, you've got some pretty basic kind of filtering. You can filter by game type, so that cuts down the number, but there's still a lot of servers out there.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes it would be nice to say, well, type in your friend's name and be able to find the server he's playing on.
So. Absolutely.
So hopefully we're now that UT's done, we'll be able to find some time to finish that off.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of things that you guys think of, and it's interesting to note that you guys all kind of take the web community input seriously and really look it over, because I know just from being around for the last, year and a half in the web community, there's been a ton of things that I've seen come by my computer as far as feedback and everything that ended up being in the game.
Yeah, we really have tried to listen, you know, as well as, I mean, sometimes you have to take some people's ideas with a grain of salt, but we really have tried to listen to what the community was after, and we really hope we've come up with a really fun game. I think we have.
So you guys aren't going to go to all games by skins like Fargo had suggested? No?
Well, no.
Okay. Another thing that I noticed about this game compared to Unreal was the difference that the decals make in how the game looks and feels and that ubiquitous immersiveness, you know, that we talk about.
Yeah, towards the end of the game, we really thought we were close to being done, but I felt I could get decals in there pretty quickly, and I had a look around in the engine to see how I would do it. And it sort of started off as an exercise, and I thought, well, if I get it done in time, then that's great, and if I don't, then so be it. But in the end, they turned out really well, and they were really quick to do. So we ended up, you know, having pretty good decal support, and it really does make a difference. If you go in there with decals turned off, you can it just looks so sterile and bland.
Yeah, it really does.
You know, no glass marks on the walls. No, you know, it really looks a whole lot better with the marks everywhere. And you know, it's something that competing games have as well. So it's not a high tech feature, but it is something that the Unreal Engine was lacking that we didn't want to do unless we did it properly, so I'm glad we put it in properly.
So where are you going to go from here now, Jack? You know, the game's out, should be in the stores. Well, it's actually being shipped as we speak, and it's in some stores. It's been shipped from GT Direct already. What kind of work is left now in the first couple of weeks after the release?
Right, a couple of things. First of all, we're just finishing off a few international versions. We've just finished the German version, and I've got the Japanese version. I just have to make all the Japanese characters fit. But once that's out of the way, then we're just going to listen for some feedback. Maybe there'll be, you know, a handful of little issues that come up in the first week or 2 weeks. And then we want to get those out and fixed as soon as we can. And then hopefully the community can really start building, and we can get a lot of servers and a lot of players out there.
And some new maps, too. See how these guys take the open architecture here of the Unreal Tournament system.
Well, that's
as far
right.
as mutators, and you guys have a lot of things that are already in the game that people will be able to access directly
right.
now.
Exactly. And I think people are going to have a lot of fun making assault maps. And
oh, yeah.
Especially assault maps, because you can really make it a story and you can come up with a really cool, unique idea.
Yeah, it'll be more of a challenging thing, too, with the assault maps, because it's not going to be like a straight death match. They're actually, we were talking with some of the other people earlier, And basically it's going to take a little more thought because you have to, as you mentioned to me as you were playing Assault, you have to be able to set up the defend part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
So that it's feasible to play. You want to strike a balance between attacking and defending so that it's more challenging that way.
And both with Bots and with a lot of players, we spend a lot of time really balancing Assault to make sure that it is a good game for both the attackers and the defenders. And, of course, the thing with Assault is that once you've successfully attacked, you then change over and you become a defender. So,
yeah. And with the time limit.
Exactly, with the same time limit. So I think that's something we pulled off pretty well, and I really think people will dig Assault Online. So.
What's your favorite weapon?
My favorite weapon will be the flak cannon.
Yeah?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed you guys jacked it up quite a bit.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It's got these little glowing red bits of metal that come out the end, and then they slowly cool down and turn into black pieces of metal. It's a lot of fun. Also, I like the rocket launcher a lot, of course. But people have also said about UT that that the weapon balance is very good, and that's something we have really tried to do as well. And just watching online today, you could see that there are people dying and being and killing with every weapon in the game.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, you never really feel like you're without anything of any power, and that's the way it should be in Deathmatch.
One thing you can see by the... And everybody here is pretty good, and I know Cliff had posted his comment about Mark and jumping over his weapon fire to land near him and smack him upside his head with an impact hammer.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty cool.
That's true. But
I noticed that everyone here is a pretty good player, and the really good players here really know how to use the translocator to
mm-hmm.
really move around
yeah,
quickly.
Yeah, I got to admit, that's something I really haven't... I'm really not as good as I could be at. But it's definitely a must for domination in CTF.
So. Absolutely.
Hopefully people will find it as a good substitute for a grapple, although I'm sure there'll be a lot of grapple enthusiasts. Who
well,
really
the way I was watching Cliff use it, he was almost using it as a grappling hook.
Right.
He'd chuck it up, virtually pulling himself up out of the way, turning around, jumping down, fragging somebody. It was just great.
The thing about a translocator over a grapple that we felt was good, that it could add a little more balance to the game, rather than being totally, well protected. If you had a grapple, if you could just grapple out with the flag.
Sure.
With a translocator, you can translocate when you've got flags, so it makes you use a bit more strategy in the use of that.
Great. Well, we're all excited. We think this is great, and appreciate the time.
Yeah. Thank you, Pete.
Thanks, Jack.